Happy and glad that you chose to tune in to Bring Back the Family Focus on the Youth. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. If we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Keep that in mind. First, we want to acknowledge God with the scripture and a prayer. I'm not sure if Ms. Rebecca is on this morning. I believe Ms. Jackie Vandegrift is on. They've been having a lot of power outages, and so people cannot communicate like they normally would. Okay, and so I just want to introduce my, yes, sir.
Oh, I just wanted to say, what last four are you looking for?
Jericho 404 and 6503.
6503. Okay, I don't see neither one of those. Oh, yeah, 6503 is here.
Okay, and then Erico 404.
No, that's 6503. Well, that other is, I just opened their mic. The other, I don't see Rebecca.
Okay, good deal. Okay, so I just want to introduce my hosts, and we have our very own Jacqueline Vandegrift, and we have our very own Rebecca Johnson. We have Callie Pierce, and we have our junior and young adult co-host, Shania Cox, and Jacob Ribron, in that address. So, but like I said, we have a lot of power outages, and we do have Sister Jackie online to do our scripture. Hi, Miss Jackie, are you with us?
Yes, I am. And how are you, Miss Kathy? And Pastor O, how are you? It's good to hear
good.
Your voices today.
Good.
Thank you. I'm going to read Romans 12, 1 through 13. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves. Measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part had a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is to serve others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership abilities, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what's wrong. hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in the confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them always. Be eager to practice hospitality. May the Lord and the blessings to the reader, hearers, and doers of his word. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. We just thank God for this day, and we just thank him for allowing us to be here on the Bring Back the Family show. We're just going to speak on what it is that he wanted to speak on today and just have him continually to bless, Bring Back the Family, and everybody involved. Amen? Amen.
Okay,
amen. So Bring Back the Family, it's a calling for reform, change, awareness, hope, and accountability. No more backwards thinking. Times are thinking ahead. It encourages all people to do better because they can do better when they are faced with a better tomorrow. So who's responsible and who is willing to sacrifice and to take the responsibility in making this world a better place for our youth to live in? Are we willing to roll up our sleeves and get busy? What are we going to make up in our minds to do? Okay? Who's going to be in charge of the next generation of passing the torch and running the race, doing great things because we prepared them to. Like I said, we could do this. Our parents did it for us. They were focused and spent time, quality time, so that we would not be a burden or a nuisance to the community and people around us all around this world. And, you know, if we just picture it and just knowing that we have given our youth everything that they need to make it in this life, in this world, we have given them, we have done our best, we have, you know, just, you know, make sure that they can make it, make sure that they have what they need so they won't be, you know, hanging around at the house, you know, and they always have something to do. So Bring Back the Family is a show that is designed to bring awareness to what we need to do for our youth in order for them to be good, productive citizens so that our youth can contribute and be a contribution to others all around this beautiful world. And all they need is a good foundation. And that foundation as parents and community comes from me and you. Someone did it for us, and so we have to do the same for them. So what do we propose to do? Bring back the family, block by block. Propose that we do this block by block. Do something for the youth on your block. We were given what we needed to make it, so we should know what we need to do in order for the next generation to have what they need to make it. Okay, it's just time to pay up, and it's just simply giving back and giving more than what we had, because it is a different time and it's a different generational mindset, and we just have to meet them where they are. We got to meet them where they are and give them the love and the support and the encouragement and just everything good about us that they can see. Okay, you know, do something on your block. And it's all about sharing and caring and being a positive role model, a good example that our youth can see, learn, and live by, okay? And so don't forget to tell somebody about Bring Back the Family, this program that comes on every Friday at 7 o'clock. And, you know, if we don't get the word out, then what are we going to do? We have to learn to start trying to help one another and support one another in all of our endeavors that we do to help the youth and to help each other. You know, this is history. History in the making. And someone will be helped now, later, and in the future by Bring Back the Family. Okay? somebody's going to be helped. So the one that go out there and do something for their block and on their block, you will be blessed for doing what you do. You'll be blessed. And it is about the youth. It's about them because they are our future. They're the next generation, and they're the ones who's going to be carrying that torch and making this world a better place for the next generation, okay? So, like I said, we have a lot of power outages, and we just want to, you know, pray to God restore the power all around this world so people can, you know, get back to what they're used to doing. And so, you know, when we don't have our show, we just really miss it, and we miss something. So we don't want to miss anything, so we're going to go on, and who's ever tuned in, thanks for tuning in. And we're just going to, you know, just keep on going until, you know, we just blow this thing way out of the water, and all our kids are doing well, are doing fine, are doing good, you know. That should make you feel good and all warm inside just to know that all the kids can do well, and they can do well. They can do well, but they need our help. They need our help. So what have you been doing? What have you been doing on your block? You know, I need somebody to call in and tell me, tell the world what you've been doing. Let's motivate each other to do this, you know, do something on your block, whatever it is that you can do, whatever it is, just buy some books, just give some encouragement, you know, let them see you doing well, talk about some good things, take them to church, you know, buy them a Bible, have Bible study. So many things that we could do for them. We just think about what we've had done for us. Everything that we had done for us, we look back and we see a beautiful picture. I know I do. And so this encourages me to want to make sure that every little kid grow up and be able to look back and have a beautiful picture to look at. Okay? Good memories. Good memories. Okay? And like I said, I'm excited about bringing back the family. And, you know, the kids on my block, I call them the cat kids. And we've been busy. We have really been busy. And I just want to share some of the things that we've been doing. It's summertime. And, you know, the parents might be a little sick of me, but it's okay. I just keep on, you know, sending them the text messages about all our activities that we're going to take, that's going to, you know, take place through the week so that they can stay busy. And then later on, I'm just going to watch and see the fruits of those labors. That's it. That's all I want to see is them do well and get better day by day. And so we've been on the move, and they have been, we registered them in a summer camp where they're doing, you know, they're making things. They made bird houses, got all seeds in my van. They planted flowers, made like little plants, you know, and you know how we used to do that, make little plants and a flower. They made flowers. They draw. They do all the subjects, English, math, history. They do all of that. And it's from 9 to 12 at the Newmont Harmon Church. And they really, really, really have a good time over there. They call me, and they're ready to go, up and ready to go every morning. So that's all we need to do, just enroll them in something. You know, find out what's going on. You can get some information off this show because we always telling, giving information about things that's going on in our community so that we can keep our youth busy. We have been continuing to go to golf. We went to the women's LPGA golf tournament in Midland, Michigan last Wednesday, and we had such a wonderful time. It's taking them a while to get used to this golf thing, but I'm going to keep pushing them because they can be great golfers one day. And they just don't know all the good things that they can get into in the golf industry. They just don't know and they don't understand right now, but they will understand later. And I wish I had just kept on getting into golf. I was just playing and playing for fun, but nobody told me the business part of it. Nobody told me all the money that you can make in golf, you know. And this is my job, not job now, to just let the next generation know that these are some things that you can do to make, you know, give you a good lifestyle, okay? And so they are still doing that. Like I said, we went to the golf tournament. It's all women's tournament, beautiful thing. It was kid-friendly. They had a STEM set up there, a whole big room with different things with engineering and, you know, STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. They had all that, and they had all those things that they're going to be doing in the future. And so they went around, and they enjoyed everything that they had to offer there. And we were probably the last group. There was lots and lots of kids there. And we probably was the last group out of there because they were enjoying it so much. And so after we did that, we had lunch, and then we went and watched the lady golfers. It was like four or six black women golfers, and so we went to support them, and that was exciting. And so to let them know and let them see that women do golf, you know, and just, you know, give them the chance to experience that and know that they could do it too. And so they enjoyed, we had some sun visors, and they were pink, and they went and got autographs from all of the lady golfers, you know, the ones that would, and they took pictures and things with that, with the golfers, professional golfers. And it was just a beautiful thing. We had a nice luxury bus going up, and they really had a good time, and they enjoyed themselves. We're still continuing our book club. We're going to go tomorrow, and we're going to read, catch up on our reading that we've, you know, because we've been kind of busy, and they still have things that their parents are having them do. So sometimes we, you know, miss some of the activities. So we got to catch up on our book reading. And so we're going to do that tomorrow. And then we have activities afterwards. We're going to go swimming and all of that. So those are some of the things that we're doing with Bring Back the Family and Cat's Kids on her block, you know. And it's really rewarding. And they're coming along. They're coming around. And we got a lot more things planned to do. Okay. Jackie, are you there? Anybody want to have anything to say, feel free to jump in anytime. Press 1 so that you could be your mic could be open in host queue. Just press 1. If you got something that you want to, you know, say or let us know that you're doing on your block for your kids or any kid or some kid, or just feel free, you know, that'll make us happy.
So, Jackie, are you with us?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know what? We were talking earlier about change, and we were talking about how people, everywhere you talk, you can talk to people in different cities, and they all saying that it's nothing but horror stories of people being hurt and danger. And we were talking earlier about people wanting change, but who's willing to change?
Mm-hmm.
That's a big, big, big assignment.
Yeah.
When you
speak, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me jump in. Change
about,
and out. Let me say that I was thinking about, and we were talking about this too earlier, about, you know, the things that we put, that we entertain, the things that we do.
I got a question if you don't mind.
For entertainment. Uh-huh.
Okay. I was looking at your description page, and there's a question in there. It says, it's talking about preparation in prison. What are we preparing our youth to do in the future for their future? how do you know our children can read? Do we know, in fact, if they can read? Now, the implication in that is that there are too many families that have children that don't read. Is that the implication?
Well, statistics show that, and I saw this maybe about a month ago. They said in the statistics that with children during the pandemic, where children were reading with the brick and mortar schools, they were reading more, and their test scores were higher. Well, during the pandemic, though, after the kids did different exams with them, it showed that their reading scores had dropped. I don't know if it's because people were overwhelmed with online schools or not, but I do know that from the test, this was nationwide, from the test scores on reading, the scores dropped tremendously.
Yeah, I read that too. It was the worst in the United States history. But that may have been due to the pandemic. I do know that some children's ability to speak was hampered by the pandemic because I met one family about a couple of weeks ago who had a child who was, I think, 6 years old, and the child mm-hmm. couldn't pronounce certain words. And the mother was explaining to me, because the child was in a mask all the time, he was talking to people who were in masks, and as a result, the clarity of the sentences and the words that were being uttered by the people's mouths weren't all that clear. So he sounds like, like he doesn't know how to speak English. But that's because he's just mimicking what the sounds were that he heard from people who were wearing masks. So I can understand that. And I can understand the effect the pandemic has had on children. But I'd like to know, were you also talking about pre-pandemic? Was there a real problem with children reading?
Well, you know what? I think that... And this also came from statistics that we had a large scale. And one of the reasons was it's not that children wasn't reading. It was that comprehending what they read. And then another concern that was out there is that many years ago, kids had in the school system, they held a book. Today, a lot of school systems order the books, but they don't allow the children to actually handle reading from books. And there was another study that said that when a child or a adult is actually reading from a book, it kind of sticks in the brain some kind of way. And we were wondering if that's the case, if you're taking the books out of the school system and copying the work for them to read, are they really comprehending? Is that the reason why there is a problem with the comprehension? We don't know. We could, because we're not scientists, but we're addressing the issues based on what is happening.
Based upon
and we
certain
don't...
research. Yeah.
Right.
The thing
and
is
we
that...
Don't...
Okay.
What will they be able to do after, when they get, to 12th grade going into college? Would they be able to go to college if they can't read, if they can't write?
Well,
if we're not if we're not letting them read right now and they can't read and we're not paying attention that they can't read because so many adults graduate from high school and they cannot read. And so that's been brought to our attention, and kids around me, right in front of me, cannot read. And so this is why, you know, this is this pipeline thing to prison, whereas what are you going to do? What are you going to do after you graduate from high school? If you don't have no skills, you can't read, you can't fill out any information, where are you going to go? And so our logo here is that if we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. So if we don't help these kids to read, if we don't teach them, and give them what it is that they need to make it, where are they going to go? They're going to come to us and get what they need. And this is what we're seeing now. So this show is an awareness to what our parents and the people in the community need to come together to give our youth what they need to make it so that we could be safe, that your kids could be safe, that all kids can be safe. Because right now it's dangerous. If they can't read, they can't write, they're going to be upset. They're going to be mad. They're going to wonder, why can't I read? I done been in school, and I'm getting out of school and can't read and can't write. And I worked in the juvenile system, and kids can't read, can't write. The behavior is bad because they can't read and they can't write. So they're going to be disrupting other kids. And then this plays a part with their behavior as well. So all these kids that's been bundled up and cowed into these systems, or these juvenile systems, like cattle, they're just there. So where are they going? Where are they going after they turn 18, after they finish holding them, you know, next step? They get to the next step, you know, juvenile. What's the next step after juvenile, you know? So that's what Bring Back the Family is about, just making sure and bringing an awareness of what we need to do for our youth right now, doing something on your block for the youth. Making sure they can read it. And if everybody does that. Mm-hmm.
That was a good point that the gentleman brought up, to bring in the dialect to just things like this, because there may be somebody out there that's thinking the same thing. Mm-hmm. And when you interact and bring this to the table, it not only, it opens the eyes and the ears for other people, and for them to know that we have willing participants. You have an open session as a round table for people to discuss issues and to get some clarity of what is actually being said, because I'm quite sure he's not the only one that has read that capture and had questions that never spoke up. And I thank you for coming and sharing your opinion and your ideas. And we're looking forward to you helping us out, you know, because what city you're calling from. But I thank you for we thank you for coming in and asking those questions.
Yes, thank you. That let us know someone's listening and is truly concerned.
But then to think about it, I was looking at something here. It says, why is it so hard for people to accept change? And what they said here is, when you go through change, it's a transition from a part of life to the other. The emotional attachment we hold with our past self is what makes it harder to accept change. You become comfortable with your current way of living, and when you try to change, you are thrown into discomfort, which we humans tend to avoid. Now, that's a very good statement, because if we, okay, like for instance, you take time out of your schedule every Saturday, you and Kay Latham and Lil Taylor, and they have joined in with their book club. and you take children over and they enjoy the opportunity of a group session and they read. They have a homework assignment and they come back together and they discuss what they read. And we need more book clubs. And if we could, somebody said something? Okay. So if somebody else wants to start a virtual book club or start a book club, and it could turn into a network, we should be able to have a book clubs all over the United States. And that is a powerful force when you have young people coming together, joining each other, and learning and appreciating the books that they are reading and writing essays from it. That's something that maybe we can contact somebody like this gentleman here that spoke. He might want to do a book club in his community, whether it's actually going to a library where they're reading, or having like Miss Kay is having them at her house and you all go there and meet up, or you do it virtually online, because that becomes a very powerful tool. And maybe we should think about maybe networking that way.
Yeah, that's one way, yes, to get them to read. It seems hard, but it's not. It's just a matter of just doing it. You know, going to get some books, and it's an investment. That's all it is. It's an investment. And we all should be concerned about the future, our future, the kids' future, our youth future, our own children's future, because our children, you know, they're your own children. They're going to be out there, you know, all mixed together with all the population of other youth. And so important for all the youth to have what they need to make it. We're going to lose some, but, you know, if we just focus on trying to get all of them to be interested in their education, be interested in competing and being the best student that they could be. You know, if we're excited, then they'll be excited.
But you know what? And I love the idea that, you know, you guys got together and the books were purchased and for the children to read. And that's a good point there, because sometimes maybe a child is not reading because they don't have the resources to purchase a book. Maybe once we start building this thing, people could donate and books can be sent to the children, and that we can work that way. So, you know, I like the idea that came up, because you get those creative juices in your brain, get to working, and people start connecting together.
Okay. And hey, what about putting that money inside those books? They'll read them then.
You know what? I thought that was a great idea. And you said you did that to Jacob. Put some money inside of the book. And I don't even. You know what? I'm gonna ask him. Did he ever look in that book and see if he found that money?
No.
And you know something?
It was his planner. That
his
thing he never used.
Right. And he didn't know he had money inside the planet, and he never looked inside of it.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny. I'm going to tell you something. He looked up when we said that.
Oh, he had
a 20. He said it was a 20.
He said it was
a 20. Yeah.
Okay.
Did you say thank you to Miss Kathy? He said he didn't know where it came from. So but you know what? I'm trying to think. We talked about this. This was one of he's an actor. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think of his name. But the moral of the story was he was having, this is before, he's quite wealthy now. But he, at the beginning, he was going through, you know, hard times, you know, struggling actor. And his mother was supportive of him. So she gave him a Bible. And so she would say, he said, Mama, I got to pay my bills. I'm going to get put out. She said, well, did you read your Bible? Mama, please, you got to understand that I'm going to get put out. She said, well, did you read your Bible? And so this went on. And then he said, what is this about this Bible? And he said, what do you think I should read? She said, say John. John 10 and 3, okay? That's an example. And so when he turned the Bible to the chapter, the book, and the chapter, it was enveloped with 6 months of rent, money in that envelope for him to pay his rent up for 6 months.
Wow.
And...
wow.
He said that was a valuable lesson to him to really, he started really reading that. And he said it taught him a valuable lesson about picking the Bible up, reading the Bible, because he said it, all he could do was start crying and thanking the Lord for it. But the whole time his mother said to him, did you read
your Bible?
And she told him what chapter. And she never said another word. She never said, I'm going to give you a dime or nothing.
Mm-mm.
But she had inside that Bible 6 months of rent.
I bet he read that Bible. Yeah. Go ahead.
Somebody else said something?
That's a real good story, Sister Jackie. Story.
Sister Jackson.
Hey.
Hi.
I'm in the dark.
Hi. You want to do your prayer?
I'm sorry. What'd you say about the prayer?
I said, what, did you want to do your prayer?
I'm in here again.
No, go ahead. She had something she was going to say. She was wanted to remark on what you said.
I was glad I came in on that money in the books example because if you don't find any paper money, real actual money in the book, it's okay. It's still money in that book.
It is.
Yeah. It's it will pay you later.
Long run money.
Right.
Yeah, long run money. Long run.
Long run money, yes. It will benefit you like money to read and to enjoy reading. Yeah.
Now, you know what, Sister Johnson, Rebecca, you didn't hear the gentleman because, and you are a person of statistics, and the gentleman spoke about the flyer and on the flyer about children not being able to read. And he wanted to know if that's what you're saying, that children, and we're not talking about the children that read. We're talking about the mass of children in society, and they grades have been affected because of the level of reading.
Now, I know you pulled up some statistics on that, and I'm sorry to ask you at the last minute, but I think this gentleman really wanted to get, I hope I answered him well, but I know that some of the statistics that you pulled up and discussed in the past about how important it is for comprehension and how certain parts of the brain, and we were talking about them holding the book and how it affects the brain as far as comprehension. Can you remember some of those statistics that you had? I know it's throwing it at you.
No, well, pull them up, but I'm in the dark over here.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah.
But you remember you we were talking about, I think it was the vortex, or what was the front part of the brain?
The prefrontal cortex in your brain, it doesn't develop fully until you're 26 years old. And that's the part of the brain that makes decisions, makes good decisions.
Mm.
So that means you can't really make good decisions until you're 26 or older.
Wow.
And I don't know if that's related to reading, but yeah, I would like to tell every young person to rely on their wise counselors and to not make any big decisions without seeking counsel.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it has to do with training as well? Because some people, have their kids start early with running businesses, like 13 years old. They have them running full businesses. And that requires making some good decisions. So do you think training has a lot to do with that and what you allow them to do and what you don't allow? Because sometimes we hold them back and they can't think for themselves because we think for them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Attempts to make decisions, but I would always get some help or a second opinion from someone wiser and older. As training, if you train up a child to read well and know how to calculate numbers and keep up with the books, that can only help. It would only put you further ahead when you finally get to a position where you are independent on your own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they tell us when we get 18, we're supposed to get out, and be an adult and take care of ourselves. And most of the time, our kids are not ready to go out in the world at 18 years old because I think it's the culture thing where we just kind of hold them back from being able to get out there on their own unless you have really, trained them and put in their head, okay, you got to do A, B, C, D, and E in order to make it out there. And they prepare them to go out there. But some people, they just push them out there, and then they don't know, where they're going.
Well, if you think back to what Ms. Rebecca said about the brain not being able to fully develop until they are 26 years old, then that, this is my opinion, and I always go back to the military wants our children at 18 years old, and that's because they can retrain them the way they want to, that brain. It's so scientific about the brain at that young age, but yet and still, we want to charge our children, if this is a known fact, but we want to charge them as an adult to put them in a facility But you right. also know if the statistics are saying that this child's brain is not fully comprehending, it's not fully there, then it's a two-sided coin where some things you're responsible for and other things you're not.
Yeah, I think 18 is just too young. I mean, you could be on your own, but you need support. You need wise counselors.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
thank you.
More, and I need wise counselors. I'm 55. I need wise counselors. So definitely,
you're not
if you're 18.
Well, I know I was out on my own at 20. You know. I was working a job at 14, 15, 16, and I always heard my mom say there's only one woman to a house, you know. I heard her tell my sister
yes.
that. So at 18, I was like, ooh, I was so scared. I said, golly, I have to get out on my own, and I have to do this, and I have to do that. I have to have my own this, my own car insurance, my own house, my own. And I was really afraid to, you know, get out there just to turn 18, you know. But once I got out there at 19 and a half, you know, I was okay because I had already learned how to work, had work ethics at a young age. And when I left home, I never came back because I knew it was only one woman to a house. And been rolling ever since.
You did good, Sister Kathy. You mm-hmm. had a scriptural background, though, and I think – I was out there young, too. I think I ran out the house at 18, but I made some terrible decisions. Yeah, if I had it to do again, I would be the child and let my mother be the woman of the house and let me stack up some chips until, you know, I'll comfortably move out at 20. Four or five or something like that. So just knowing that, yeah, only one woman to a house. So if you stay home, you have to be the child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if she meant that for me, but I heard it. Now, maybe she meant it for my sister because she talked back and, you know, she wanted to be the woman of the house. And she told her there's only one woman. Yeah, she wanted to be the woman. And so I don't know if she was talking about me, but I heard it. I was like, wow. So I'm glad I did hear it. Yeah. 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 So.
Well, but anyway, one of the things that we are focusing on and we continue to focus on our children, but we also know that we are living in a world of different change, and
mm-hmm.
things are changing very rapidly. And our children and the working folks, and when I speak about this, I'm speaking about also Sister Johnson's age group. I was reading somewhere where they were saying that, and it's through like Elon Musk coming up with Project Omega, which connects to universal basic income and then also connects to AI. And it's another change that's going to be happening. It's going to be a universal problem. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to say socialism, but yet and still, if a large number of people are being affected by a universal basic income, where you the government is giving you a certain amount of money, that's going to be a change. And we also spoke about how many people that would be able won't be affected by that, but they have to have some skills. And reading and writing is going to be major. It's going to be major because if you can't, we talked about, you brought it up, Sister
Rebecca, about these reports are being, they go online and a computer writes a full report, but it has no feelings or compassion. And they were saying they could identify if this computer wrote the report because it didn't have any compassion. So there's a lot of basic things that all tie back into a person being able to read in order to be able to function. And then, like you said, having some type of stability and counsel and being able to listen to someone that, even though younger people are bringing things to the table that we, as we older, we don't understand. But yet and still, we might not understand, but if both groups come together, we can teach each other.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So what do you all think about that?
I think that's a good idea, a good first step for us to take.
We all need to come together. We do.
Right. And you know what?
I like teamwork. Yeah.
I was looking at something where on the computer and I was trying to figure it out. I mean, I just took me days, long hours. So finally I was speaking to another friend of mine, a few years younger, and she said, "Hey, let's get my granddaughter on the phone." Now, she came over, and I was telling her this was what was affecting me with this landing page because I did not know bookmark, and, and putting it on the computer where I can go straight to it. Not have to go through a long process. And boom, she told me right away. And I felt so empowered because a young person that was able to give me some kind of insight and training just that quick. And it was just go up to the little star, click the star when you're on your page, and click it. And it showed right up there. It made me feel, it was an empowerment. So in essence, we have something that they need and they have something we need. And if we come together and bridge those generations together, it could be a very powerful thing.
Yeah, everybody will be involved. That would be powerful. You know, I know we were talking about where we invest our money, where we invest our funds, you know, and what we do to have fun. Like, you know, I'm not hating on Beyonce. I love her. You know, she's doing her thing. But can you imagine all the people that was at her concert all around the world and invested that money to go and see her, you know? And I just wonder, are they putting the same investment into their children? You know, is the hunger and the thirst for that just as important or more important, should be important, of, you know, going to see an attendee that already has what they need, you know. And so, but are we telling people about Bring Back Fat? I know I'm not a Beyonce, but you know, are we telling people about Bring Back the Family so that we can, you know, be a support of each other? We have to learn how to support one another and one another's, you know, whatever we have going on for the youth and whatever. You want somebody to support you. And so this is a good call. This is something good to support, you know, because it's looking out for the youth and what they need to make it. Because, hey, they need to know music too. Are we putting them in music lessons? You know, are we making any kind of investment in our youth?
you know, are they important? Are they first on our list? So it's important to tell people about this program. Tell people about, you know, just keep talking the youth up and the education and what it is that they need to make it. Because how would we feel if we couldn't read? And where can you go if you can't read? What can you do if you can't go to the next level and the next step? What can you do if you can't go any further than, you know, eighth grade, third grade, fourth grade? And, you know, we already determined that it was said that, you know, they're using the grade, the scores, test scores of fourth graders to determine how many prison cells they're going to need in the future. Now, they're planning for the future. But are we planning for our youth future, for our kids and the kids that we see right in front of us? Are we planning for their future? You know, are we making an investment? I don't think it's a good investment. So if everybody, you know, just send out that information, that flyer about bring back the van and have people listen and people and get them motivated about being able to help one another. Like we did back in the day, we were neighbors. We was a community and we helped one another. Everybody had sugar, flour and brownies and all that kind of stuff. Everybody had it. So it's the same thing. Just like we gave back then, we should still be giving and showing that love and support that this community and this world need, you know, because there's so much violence going on now that we need to be showing some love. We need to be showing love. Yeah. So, and support and all that, and that's all wrapped up together. Love, support, teamwork, you know, giving, support, your investment, all of that. All of that goes in one big bucket. Well, I want the people to get excited about, you know, to get excited about what they need. And we have what we need, you know. We have what we need, I'm sure. I do. So it's up to us to want to give back. Bring one or two up. It's a blessing in giving. And it's a blessing in looking out for God's children. Okay, it's like 8:13, but if anybody have anything that they want to say, just press one and let us know how you feel. Let us know what you think about this show, or if you got some things that you're doing on your block for youth. Let us know so that we know that someone that this show is working, that this that is, you know, is getting to you and that is making you want to get out there and help our youth. Because if we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. We will. Come on, let's hear you. We holler, what they say, Pastor Bob, you go out there and you holler for that football. At the football game, we were hollering and screaming at the Beyonce concert. Let's get excited about and holler about so people will hear about what our youth are going through. You know, we do talk about what's going on in the world as far as them. Every weekend, I'm hearing about a young person being wiped out. We tell that. I don't even watch the news, but people call and tell me about those things. Call and tell me about Bring Back the Family, that you're listening, so that we can stop all this, you know, being able to call and say, well, another young kid, you know, lost his life, another one, and another one, and another one. When are we going to get tired of hearing that? Okay? Jackie? Rebecca? Callie, anybody out there?
Yes, we're out here. You have some very good points there, Miss Kathy, and it's good when the people chime in and have an opinion and share their opinion. So it's going to continue to take work. And wherever, what direction or where we are good at, then that's where we will go.
Mm-hmm.
In my sense, I know my strengths, but also, you know, I'm a particular,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, sometimes your youth are not ready for that, but mm-hmm. you can start them off young, and, mm-hmm. when you have to have accountability, you know, and one of the things, and we kind of got away from it, but we used to channel my nephew with education was his business. That's you going
mm-hmm.
to work when you go to school.
Mm-hmm.
That's your business.
Mm-hmm.
What your business, if your business is successful or not. And he was
mm-hmm.
rewarded based on his grades. And
mm-hmm.
and how he was involved in outside curriculum and the things that he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of got away from that, and that was behind the COVID, being myself affected from the COVID and him losing his mother. And it took some adjustment period. And we kind of got away from the structure that we had. But the thing about it is the foundation is there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that it only takes, sometimes it takes, you don't know what people are going through or how
mm-hmm.
hard it is type of change. When one day you look up and your whole world is turned upside down. And we
mm-hmm.
have young children there that are facing those type of things, and losing over a million people from COVID, it
mm-hmm.
affected so many different families. But the only thing that we have is our relationship with God. That's
mm-hmm.
the only thing that keeps us and keep us going through.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
it was because of that, the Lord picked up the pieces and brought people into my life that really was a major help for me when I wasn't able to do for myself.
Amen.
So, you
know,
that's...
You're back
say
on
that
the
again.
Saddle. You're back in the saddle. You got you working.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm working now different from what I was working before. You know,
mm-hmm.
I go in the school system and sit down with young kids on the floor and
mm-hmm.
and teach them how to read and teach them how to understand what the teacher is teaching on a one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
And then when
well,
the child
I
went back.
I was referring to bring back the family.
What was you referring to? I must have missed something.
I was referring to bring back the family where he has you working right now, and that's a good thing.
That's a good thing, but you know what? And I understand that, but we're doing this one day a week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's good to be there as a voice, and I know that. But I'm just saying that the actual hands-on
oh,
and
yeah.
seeing the results behind it,
mm-hmm.
even
oh,
if
yeah.
I was in a position where I could take him and four other kids and focus all of them that their education is their business and,
mm-hmm.
and have them to structure that like that, that would be effective.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that from him doing those things and teaching him how to use his brain to make money more so than the labor side of it. Okay,
mm-hmm.
you can easily learn to copy or how to cut grass and make money. But being able to sit down and write an essay or write a program for someone and make the money, and that's a part of your business. That's effective. That's something that will take them for a long ways. You know, I remember looking at one little young guy. I was doing mobile closings, and he was played an instrument, and he worked part-time. He was a high school student with the Detroit Symphony, the younger group, the youth group. And they were playing professional, and they were making income by using a talent with the instrument. And that was something that would take him a long ways, because as he mature, he'll become a senior, a more skillful to play with the adults. So whoever came up with the idea to start the youth, because if everybody, you only have a certain amount of people, well, longevity is only going to last for so many years. So if you don't have somebody prepared and trained to go right behind them. But if you look at it, that's income that most people don't look at. There's all type of incomes. I was looking at another article, and I guess I'm talking too much, but some people were going to school to be a chef, and it came up about at the Detroit Zoo, the chef at the Detroit Zoo has to feed all the animals, prepare the meals for the animals. I said, wow, you know, before I heard, even though we know somebody has to feed them, but it just never clicked in my brain that here's somebody with the school, became a chef, and now they're doing the planning for the animals every day.
Wow.
Those unconditional
diets.
You're right.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And those, you know what? And I was thinking, I think we talked about it. Maybe we can do a show on that, because helping our children or you get the creative juices together that, okay, you might like animals. If you're a good cook, maybe you could learn how to cook for the animals.
Mm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I think they had something on cable about the secrets behind the airport and all of the positions that we don't ever hear about at the airport, and these positions, people to make it function. And they had one about the secrets behind the hospital. There are so many, and you touched on that. I think Miss Kathy,
one of our first shows. Mm-hmm.
Right, about you went there and you had to make a reschedule appointment because you didn't X-ray technician.
The X-ray technician,
right.
Yeah,
and
we
those
have all these hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
Like the University of Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
They do. So far, I got two people to register for the X-ray technician at Henry Ford High School. So they're going to be starting in the fall. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
And that's something that we need to do a show on, because everybody is not prepared to go to college or can't afford to go, because I was looking at Wayne State to get a bachelor's degree. That's a hundred and some odd thousand dollars. And a lot of everybody don't have that those type of resources. And young people cannot, under a certain age, they cannot go in there and sign up for themselves because they need somebody accountable to pay that bill.
Mm.
That's a lot of money.
Well, you know, with the pandemic and all, and then, you know, losing so many people, and, you know, you have a lot of people that's not giving up these positions, that's still in them, and they're not, you know, teaching the next generation how to do these positions and getting them ready to take over. So it's a lot of programs that they have out here now where they're paying for your education right now because they need people so bad. And
right.
Like you said about these different jobs, that hospital, University of Michigan, that's a big old giant machine that has to keep running. So it's so many things that you could do there, so many jobs, so many professions that they need for you to, you know, to have. They're for the takings right now. And all
that's
hospitals,
true.
There's so many things that you can do, so many jobs, so many careers. It's just, those are like machines, you know, the automotive machines
right.
that has to keep running.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And looking at the time, we done tapped over into
okay.
Past the old time.
You better come on, Pastor O. We just running away. Pastor O, are you with us? Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know what I just did?
What did people
do? I pressed one.
Right. Let me in.
I sort of forgot that I was.
Right. Got you all turned upside down.
I just pressed one, and I got the switchboard. So I didn't have to do that. I just had to open my mic. But anyway, yeah.
Hello.
Well, thank you. Thank you for
we got
for jumping
caller.
In.
Yeah, I wanted to just say a few things. I took my grandson out to Belle Isle, and I met a man there was teaching the CAS Tech students how to play golf, and he said you can learn to be a caddy at 12 years old and get a scholarship. I didn't know about that. And he was saying that the young ladies that he taught golf from CAS Tech High School, they won the championship. And I also had another nephew, I'll say, he went to OCC. He took up millwright, which is a very good trade. And now he's in a position that, you know, that's really good that we're not too familiar with. And also that they also have a two-year scholarship, the Michigan Promise. I'm just saying here in Michigan, college. So there are openings. And also there was a young lady I know that works at that U of M hospital. They have excellent where they match their, the 401K is like dollar for dollar. Okay. So that's another avenue I just wanted to bring out too, okay?
Beautiful. Thank you so much for that. Jackie, that's the name of that program I was telling you at Michigan with the Promise program. What is it called? The Promise
that
program
Michigan,
that they had.
I don't know per se the exact title of it. And then, like I said, I didn't know that you could be a caddy at 12 years old and do it for 2 years and you eligible for a scholarship. So I got the gentleman's number because he teaches the high schoolers how to play golf. So I was glad he was friendly. He didn't mind giving me his number.
Oh, great. Well, you can give it out if you want to. That's great because a lot of our kids don't know that caddies make a whole lot of money. And if you start that early, you could, that job would pay $150,000 a year.
Yeah, so, you know, it's just exposing your kids and letting them know what to go, you know, things. And a lot of business deals are made at the golf course, okay?
They sure are. They sure are.
Mine too, okay?
Yes, ma'am. Now, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. Like I said, I've been taking my kids golfing every Tuesdays and Thursdays, and we've been going to golf tournaments and things like that, just getting them to see what they could do. And so it made me want to just start playing golf again. So, like, me and my brother, just yesterday, we went out to the Midway, and we hit balls and practice, golfing again, because we're going to get right back into it because it's good exercise.
Focus, and I'm going to say something about my grandkids. I just sent them back to Georgia, but when I had them here, I took them to the golf class, and I also took them, they had some free at the library, kids learning how to play chess. So that's another thing, too, I think that's good, to help them be focused, and it helps their mind. So they have free chess lessons at local libraries.
Now, I think they used to do that every Friday, didn't they?
Well, I went to Parkman Branch on the west side, and theirs was Tuesdays and Thursdays. Now, I don't know each library different. You'd have to check on it. But it was nice that they had a free program for kids learning how to play chess.
Because I remember my nephew, we used to take him down to the main library every Friday after school. And
right.
And they were had a lot of kids, and they were teaching them how to play chess.
Yeah, it might, you know, just have to look into it. I don't know all the details of each one of them, but it's worth looking into. I mean, that's just something
it
else.
It is worth listening. You are 100% right, because some of your great minds, decision makers, are skillful chess players.
Right.
And they do strategy. Yes.
Right.
Okay, well, listen, we still tapping into Pastor. Oh, we're going to have a show with you coming on, giving us, and we discuss all these things, because that is some valuable information.
It is. Thank you for that information. So if you have any more information, please don't hesitate to call on Fridays and give us all the information that you have. Were you going to share that number?
Oh, I gotta get it. I'm sorry.
Okay.
You know what? I'm sorry. I called in, but I gotta find my booklet with the paper. I can have it next. I'm just
saying.
I called in. I didn't know. I gotta find where the guy wrote. I wrote on a scrap of paper. Tell you too.
Okay, that's okay. We'll just have it for us next time. And thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah. Okay. And I think I met her at the golf course. Where is it? Rackham. That's how I found out about your program.
Oh, yes. You're the one with the twins.
Yeah, I have the twins there. Right. That was me.
Okay. Beautiful, beautiful. Well, thank you for calling. I'm going to run into you again. Was it Chandler Park?
I don't forget. I went to Chandler.
Yeah, it was Chandler Park. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was at Chandler. Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. You had your twins here from out of town and your grandson.
You need to exchange numbers, because those are the type of resources, because a lot of times people speak. And they say they were interested because, you know, we were doing the financial show, and people were interested, and they got by the wayside because they didn't have a way of getting numbers and reaching out
so people can reach. I do have her number. Yeah, I do have her numbers. It's locked in. And I send her information so she could tune back in next time. So happy and glad you tuned in. Thank you so much for that information. And yeah, she is a really good resource. And she's a grandma. And she's doing all these things with her grandkids. Yeah, taking time out
with them
and have them here from Georgia for the summer. And that's, you know, great. And she looks good. Yes, she does.
She's a little tired. I'm okay. I'll make it.
Yeah, well, you look good. Those kids got you looking young, so that's good. And that's what kids do. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yep.
Yep. Pastor O.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you.
It gets exciting, don't it? You know,
it
when
does,
you're actually making contributions, you know what I mean? It gets exciting. It gets you perked up. But that's what the work is. That's what the job is.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Say hello to everybody tonight, to Rebecca, to Jackie, and yourself, and the caller. You know, the caller was real relevant, you know, talking about do they know how to read? Because, again, reading is fundamental. If you don't have that, then you're going to be really, really putting yourself at a disadvantage. Just say it like that. You know, having that reading skill is sort of like it could be everything. Okay. So anyway, I'm here. I'm Pastor O, and I'm here to give a biblical perspective to the things that we talk about here on Bring Back the Family. And the Bible always has something to say about the things that we're into. Okay, so we can have guidance. If the Lord said to us, and he did, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths, right? So if that's true, then there should be a way in the Bible for us to look at so we can see which way we should go. And we haven't, you've probably heard me say this before, that we have an obligation to the generation coming behind us. And how we view that obligation means everything. I want to talk a little bit about Abraham tonight. And a lot of people don't know about this, but the Lord actually came to his house to visit him. This is after chapter 17, where the Lord came to Abraham after he tried to have God to be satisfied with Ishmael. God said, no, that's not the son of promise. Isaac will be the son of promise, and he will come from Sarah, not from Hagar, who you got from the Egypt deal. Okay, so Abraham in chapter 17 laughed. Okay, and then we come to chapter 18. The Lord appears as what we call a theophany. It's a visible manifestation of God the Son, the second person of the Godhead, who we know today as Jesus Christ. But in the Old Testament, he wasn't here as Jesus, the one who saves, or Christ, the anointed one. He was here to represent his Father on earth, okay? And he would appear as the angel, usually is just called the angel of the Lord. Okay, that's what he's called. And you can always tell when it's him and the difference between him and another angel, because Jesus will receive worship. Another angel won't, but Jesus will. And that's how you can really know for sure that it's him when you see angel of the Lord, because sometimes it just refers to regular angels. So anyway, the Lord, in a theophic form, showed up with two angels and came to visit with Abraham. And so Abraham recognized, and it was their custom to be hospitable. And so he invited them to have something to eat and, you know, to stay around. And so he went in and told Sarah to get something together quick. We got some guests, but long story short, when the angel of the Lord mentioned Abraham's name, Abraham knew that he was not just talking to anybody, because nobody else on earth knew that Abram's name had been changed from Abram to Abraham. Nobody on earth knew that Sarah would no longer be called Sarai, but Sarah, meaning the mother of nations, Abraham, father of nations, okay? And so now God comes to visit Abraham. And while he is there, he tells Abraham again that he's going to have a son. And Sarah overhears it this time. She wasn't there the last time, but she heard it. But she was way past the age of childbearing, because she is now 75 and Abraham is 100. And so Sarah laughed, just like Abraham laughed. Sometimes when God tells us awesome and wonderful things, we laugh because we look at how impossible it is to and for us. But then we're happy at the fact that this promise has been made to us. This possibility has come, could become a reality to us. And so Sarah laughed. And so consequently, Abraham is told to name this child Isaac. Guess what Isaac means? Laughter. But that's not the point that I want to make here. The point that I want to make is what God says to Abraham before he leaves. And you can find that in Genesis chapter 18, verse 16. It says, when the men got up to leave, they looked down toward Sodom. And Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. Now listen to what the Lord God of heaven and earth says about a human being. Then the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Wow. The Lord God of heaven and earth is about to do a thing in the earth. And he's about to include Abraham in on what he's about to do. I mean, just think about that. This is the God who spoke everything that we know, the sun, the moon, the stars, the trees, the bugs on the ground, the birds in the air, the fish in the sea, the livestock, the both wild and domesticated. This is the God who spoke all of that into existence. And up until this time, we've only known him to share this information with let us. And we know the let us is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One God, three separate and distinct personalities, who we call God. Up until this time, just like Jesus in the New Testament told everybody, don't reveal who I am. Don't tell nobody who I am until I rise from the dead. Then you can tell them. But to the woman at the well, he says to her, the person that you're speaking with is the Messiah. And that's the same thing here. As far as I know, this is the first time that God has revealed anything he's going to do on earth to a human being. Then the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Now, you ask yourself, why would God share with a human being like this? What did God know about Abraham that would cause him, who don't have to share anything? I mean, how many of us know how he made the sun, the moon, the stars, the angels? How many of us know how long the things that God have made have been in existence before he made us? Because it was all in eternity. Time didn't start until God created the heavens and the earth. He says, Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children. Oh, there it is. There it is. God is looking for somebody to do what Kathy be talking about all the time. She says it. Somebody did it for us. Does God know that you're going to do it for them? Will the Lord be this intimate with you because he knows? What does the Lord know about you in respect of you passing down to the next generation? God says, I've chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him the way of the Lord by doing what is right in school, on your job, in the grocery store, and doing what is just, being fair, admitting when we're wrong, and standing with those who have been wronged, doing what is just no matter what it costs us, doing what is right and just like the Hebrew boys did. It was right and it was just for them to stand for God even though it meant the fiery furnace. So that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him. The Lord made a promise over in Ephesians chapter 6. This is what he said. This is a promise from the Lord concerning raising children. In Ephesians chapter 6, children, they have an obligation in this too. Obey your parents in the Lord, The parent is obligated to be walking in Christ. Their personal, their family, their church, their civic life is under Christ. I believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that tells us the head of every man is Christ. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So if children want to do right, they need to have Christian parents who, like Abraham, will show them the way of the Lord. Honor your mother and father, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life, wholesome life, prosperous life, life overflowing to the full, the abundant life on earth. So we have an obligation. But what does God know about us? Does God know that we will in regards to our children teach them about him? Or will we, these people did, when you look at Judges chapter 2 and you get to verse 10, you find these words. After that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. And that's not Abraham, but these are his people. These are the people descended from him, and they have forgotten to tell the next generation. So the Lord cannot say about this generation. Now watch what happens when you fail to tell the next generation. You keep hearing Deaconess Kathy Clyburn say, if we don't do something now, we're going to be victims of not doing it later. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of the ancestors, who had brought them out of the south. Brought them out of slavery, brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshiped various gods of the peoples around them, want to be just like them. They aroused the Lord's anger because they forsook him and served the Baal and the Asherahs. In his anger against them, against Israel, the Lord gave them into the hands of raiders who plundered them. And we wonder why our communities are the way they are today. We've even broke the weather. And all of this is because we didn't do nothing for the next generation, and we just became so content in making good money in the plant and the other good jobs that we had that gave us $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $100,000 a year. Nice homes, whole communities. And family was just seemingly abounding. And then a generation came, like we have today, that don't know the Lord. And now the power that we had, the strength that we had, to cause America to become what it became from 55 to this day. Well, after 1944 to this day. But we have managed to raise a whole generation of all races, all cultures, not just black folks, but we've managed to raise a bunch of children who don't know God. And though they're educated, beyond, you know, they have $100,000 educations, they don't know God. And as we heard Deaconess Clyburn say, I don't even watch the news, but my phone keep ringing. It's like being Job. Every time the phone rings, somebody else, little L, got shot. 13-year-old, 14-year-olds shooting each other. Oh, yeah, so you bring back the family has a purpose. And what does God know about us? Does God know right now that we're going to make a difference, that we're going to make a change? We're not going to just talk the talk. but we're going to do like cat kids. We literally on our block going to walk the walk. And we're the only ones who can make a change, and we're the closest to the ones we know causing the trouble. And all they want is love. All they want is attention and love and truth. That's all they want. And we need to be the ones to give it to them. So will God hide from you, from us, from me, what he is about to do? Or will he reveal it to us, his plans, because he knows that we will give to the next generation, so much so that it flows to the next, to the next, to the next, so that we avoid what we have today as they had in their day. A generation had been gathered to their ancestors, and another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done. Have we told the next generation how we got over? Okay, that's my sermon for tonight.
And a very good one. A very good one.
This one came earlier today. I was sitting around, looking around, and the show came to mind, and this is what the Lord said. And it turns out, when I got the text, this was the direction. This was direction it was going, so I knew that's what he wanted to talk about. And that's a deep question, and I've always been intrigued by that God said, shall we hide from Abraham what we're about to do? And all up until that time, it was just let us. But now the discussion has changed. God's including a human being in his affairs for the first time. And then you look at why. And then we have to ask ourselves, are we Abraham? Would God share with us because he knows we will? That's a deep question. And, you know, I ask myself that question every time I get tired of doing what I do. I ask myself that question. Does the Lord know that no matter how hard this work seems to be and how nobody seems to listen and how certain people don't even respond, will you continue to the end? Will you endure to the end? And, of course, no matter how tired I get from it, I never get tired of it.
Mm-hmm. It is true. We miss it. I just miss it when we're not on. And I was like, wow. And today was like I've been kind of chilling all day. And then when I go to turn on my laptop, it got stuck.
I know when I got your text message, Jesus said, well, you know how y'all work, y'all. It's your turn. She saved you last week. You saved her this week.
Oh, my goodness. And I had a hollering baby in the background. I was like, okay, you're working this out for me.
I was looking for Jackie and Rebecca and Sister Pierre. Uh-huh. I said, Lord, please let them be one of these numbers because I don't know what to do.
Right.
And then I saw your number. I said, okay, because I think Sheila got involved and she started doing her thing and got it hooked up. So, whew.
Cool. It all worked out for the greater good guy. He knew what was going to happen. He knew what was going to happen today.
Yes, he did.
Uh-huh. The baby got quiet, sleep knocked out now. And, yep, it all worked out great. I'm going to see what's wrong with this computer. Now, next week we'll have it all in order. Well, thank you so much, Pastor O. You're always there and always have a good word for us. And it's all relevant. It goes together. And leaving God out. We can't leave God out. And I'm going to hang in here to the end. I don't have nothing else to do. I don't need no more shoes. I don't need no more clothes. I don't need another house. I don't need much. So, hey, I'm going to hang on in here because it took me so long to do this. All the years he's been pushing me to do it, it took me so long. So I'm in it to, you know, to the end of time. So I'm good. I'm good. And it's just getting better and better and better. And I'm just waiting on, you know, all the good results from all of this. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Got to plant the seeds to get the plant.
Yeah. Yes, sir. I'm ready for that plant. So thank you. Thank you, everybody. Jackie, Rebecca, we hope your power come back on, even though you were still there for us. So good deal. One thing, hey, baby. One thing I want to have us all, you know, pray, and anybody that's listening all over the world, let's pray for Alicia Watts from North Carolina, has been missing for 11 days now. And I'm just interested in this young lady because she's just a real community person, and I've just been following this story, and just a busy and community-oriented, family-oriented, and just helping people. And she is missing, professional woman, and she's missing, and we're going to pray that she comes back to her family safely. Yeah. So everybody put her on your list tonight, okay? And anybody else that's missing. All right. Pastor O, anything, church tomorrow, if you don't have a church to go to or attend to, Saturday and Sunday, tune in to One of Christ Ministry. Mm-hmm.
Yes, we got Lachelle Anderson, Minister Lachelle Anderson from Word of Faith International. She'll be preaching tomorrow. And we have Sarah Tate McClendon. Pastor Sarah Tate McClendon, she'll be preaching Sunday as I get a day of rest. And there you go. There's the whole weekend in a nutshell. And
all
coming
right.
up
Same.
Next week,
mm-hmm.
Deacon Charles Tate will be teaching Ears to Hear on next Wednesday.
All right. We got all kind of stuff going on. Bible study, Sunday school, church school.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh, yep, and just dial the same number, 646-915-8148, and our services start at 10 o'clock. Sunday church school starts at 9 o'clock on Saturday, and church starts at 10 on Sunday. Same number, tune in, and be blessed. All right? Give us some good. Thank you, Rebecca. Thank you, Jacqueline. Thank you, all the callers. We appreciate you. Please tune back in and call again and give us some more, you know, conversation. And we appreciate you. We do appreciate you. Okay, Pastor, give us some good because we got work to do.
All right.